appear between her brows. "Is that why you kept us secret? Because if your dad found out, he would have seen me as a leech?"
"Partly."
Finn flipped to his back and scrubbed a hand over his face.
"He saw us together once.
That day I invited you over when I thought my parents were going to be out overnight. My dad forgot something and had to come back to get it, and saw us kissing by the pool. The next day he cornered me and told me what he'd seen."
"Damn."
"Yeah, the things he said. The way he talked about you and your family. I've never come so close to punching my own father. But he threatened to take everything. My college fund, my car, any support after high school if I didn't shut it down."
He stared at the ceiling and blew out a breath, anger building in him anew.
"I should have let him. I should have stood up for myself, for you. Instead, I let him think he'd won and got more careful with you."
Liv shifted to her side and peered down at him, her damp hair tickling his chest.
"You were a kid. He was your dad. You can't blame yourself for being scared your father would disown you and throw you out.
My parents had a lot of sway over me, too."
He stared up at her, old shame filtering through him.
"I wanted to tell him the real story of where I was during the shooting. But he was so proud to call his son a hero, and I just let him. It was easier to let him think what he wanted."
He closed his eyes.
"I'm sorry. I shouldn't have given a damn about his opinion. I was a coward."
The words felt jagged in his throat, but it felt good to finally say them to her, to admit what a selfish asshole he'd been. When he opened his eyes, instead of seeing disappointment on her face, she bent down and kissed him lightly.
"Stop apologizing. You were 17, and every kid has a part of them that wants to make their parents proud, even if your dad's a dick."
"That's being kind."
"Okay, an uber dick. But that's not news. I once overheard him refer to my dad as the illegal who does his loan."
Finn cringed, but she smoothed his forehead with her fingers.
"Part of me knew all along that you could never bring me home. To be honest, I doubt my father would have been overly thrilled with me bringing that rich asshole's son around either."
"The difference is you would have done it anyway."
She shrugged, conceding the point, and the quilt slipped down a little.
"Well, to hell with them both, because here we are again anyway, doing unspeakable things to each other."
He traced the edge of the quilt, revealing the top curve of her breast, and watched goosebumps rise on her skin as his fingertip brushed over her.
"Still in secret, though."
She smiled, letting her hand slide under the quilt and over his abdomen, and then she laid her head against the crook of his shoulder.
"You're not my secret. You're an old friend who I might be having some naked fun with for the summer. I have no desire to hide that unless you do."
He gathered the quilt around them both, loving the feel of her, skin to skin.
"No, I agree. No hiding."
"Good." He let his fingers play idly in her hair for a few minutes, his brain working, his gaze on the ceiling.
"I'm supposed to visit my parents on this break."
"Yeah?" He let out a sigh.
"It's one of Billings and the psychologist's directives. I haven't been home in years, and when I called my mom to let her know I was off assignment, and okay, she cried, she got me to promise I would stop by, and she's been texting me."
"Hmm, you sound really excited about that."
"I've been thinking of 100 ways to get out of it,"
he admitted.
"I don't know how to be around them anymore."
She was quiet for a moment, her breath soft against his chest.
"I guess that makes me sound like a heartless jerk," he said finally.
"No, I get it. You've been through a lot, and family can be intense. But you can't break a promise to your mom."
She traced her fingers over his hip bone. "I'm sure she's been worried, and I know it's going to sound trite, but I wish my mom was still around for me to visit and get annoyed with."
His lungs contracted at that.
"God, I'm sorry. I didn't think..."
"Don't. That's not why I'm saying it. I've had a lot of years to get used to my mom being gone. All I'm saying is don't lock out the rest of your family just because you and your dad don't see eye to eye. Life's short. He let out a long breath, the words sticking to him with a thick layer of guilt. She was right. He knew that. But it didn't make the idea of visiting them any more palatable. He didn't know how to be a part of a family anymore, particularly his. He would probably make things worse rather than better by being there. Maybe you could come with me? The question popped out before he could evaluate the repercussions. Olivia tensed in his hold. Are you drunk on Afterglow? You want to take me to see your parents? Maybe not the best icebreaker. Hey, Dad, remember that girl who did your lawn? The one you didn't want tarnishing your precious son's reputation? He frowned.
I don't give a shit what my dad thinks at this point. In fact, part of me wants to stroll in there and lie. Tell him we're going to elope or something. But you're right. I don't want you to go someplace where you're uncomfortable. And I couldn't promise that my parents wouldn't make you feel that way.
He pulled her closer.
Sorry. I'm not sure where that idea came from.
She was silent for a long moment, and he thought maybe she'd dozed off. But then she let out a sigh, one that drifted over his chest with a warm gust of air. If you want me to go, I'll go. The offer made his breath stall.
No, I wasn't thinking.
She lifted herself up and gave him a shut-up-and-listen look. I said I'll go. You're helping me with stuff. I'm helping you back. And I can handle whatever dirty looks your dad throws my way. I might tell him I'm pregnant with your triplets. I give exactly zero shits about his opinion of me. He smiled.
Zero shits?
Exactly zero. He pushed her hair behind her ear.
You're kind of amazing, you know.
Her eyes flickered with some emotion he couldn't pinpoint. But it was gone almost as quickly as it was there, making him question if it had been there at all. I know. All the boys tell me that when I'm naked. She pecked him on the lips. Now get out of my bed so I can get some sleep. He chuckled.
Kicking me out already?
Yep.
And into the rain, no less. I feel so used.
Her mouth kicked up at the corner. You should. I used you well. But I can't share a bed. Sleeping quirk. All guests must exit by midnight, or I turn into an angry pumpkin.
I'm thoroughly terrified.
I can tell. She rolled off him, pulling the quilt around her. But maybe I'll let you have breakfast with me tomorrow, and help pack my camera gear for Kincaid's blog shoot.
I'm honored.
Finn sat up, hearing her teasing tone, but seeing the seriousness in her eyes. She wasn't kidding. She didn't want him staying overnight. Usually that was his move. He didn't do sleepovers either. But getting kicked out felt a little different than being the one leaving of his own volition. He wasn't going to push, though. They had boundaries. This was a friendly hookup. Not let's play like we're dating. That was important. He wanted to spend this time with Liv. And goddamn did he want her in his bed again. But his one non-negotiable was that he wouldn't hurt her. Pretending this was something that it wasn't would only tangle up what could be a fun respite for them both. He climbed out of bed and pulled on his boxers, liking how she watched him.
Tonight was great.
It was. He hoped that was the truth for her, that she wasn't regretting anything. Liv was generous by nature, and she'd known how long it had been for him. He didn't want to be her charity case. He turned to face her.
I just want it to be clear that this isn't some binding contract. I know this wasn't the plan. So just tell me if you need me to back off, and I will. Us doing this once doesn't mean I have any expectations that it's how things will go while you're here. Hopes, but no expectations.
She gave him a get-over-yourself look. Once again, I came on to you, so maybe I should be giving you that speech. No pressure, Dorsey. The suggestion was ludicrous enough that he had to fight not to laugh aloud.
Right. Like I wouldn't want to do that again. And again. He sniffed. Have you seen you?
She grinned at her words, being thrown back at her.
I have, and I am spectacular.
He stepped around the bed and went in for one more kiss.
Understatement of the year. Now get some rest. You've got pictures to take tomorrow.
She nodded and settled under the covers, but stayed propped up on her elbows.
I'm thinking you and those boxers, or out of them, will be a good subject. Ha! Keep dreaming. I'm a strictly behind-the-scenes guy.
Shame. He shook his head and grabbed the rest of his stuff off the floor. There were no neighbors close, so walking to the house in his shorts wasn't going to cause a scandal, and he was just going to get rained on again anyway.
When'd you get so dirty-minded, Arius?
She arched a brow and tapped her temple. It's always been there. You have no idea the filthy things I did with you in my virgin mind back then. If only you dated me for real.
The admission made his blood heat again. Did I mention I was a stupid, stupid boy back then?
Her lips curled into a playfully evil smile.
I'm leaving now because otherwise you're going to get no sleep at all.
She leaned over and clicked off the lamp. Good night, Finn. Damn, she was good at the tease.
Good night, Livy.
He jogged back to the main house in the cold rain, fighting the urge to return to her room and launch into a campaign about how sleep was overrated. They would have time. A summer of weekends. With Liv. That had seemed like forever when he'd first heard it. But now, it didn't seem like nearly long enough. When he got to the main house, he took a hot shower, and then went through his normal bedtime routine, checking all the locks, making sure nothing was tampered with, and slipping his gun in his boot. But for the first time in a long time, instead of lying there and going through the last 2 years or combing his memory for any evidence he might have missed, he went to sleep with a quiet mind and a grin on his face. Chapter 17. Liv blinked awake, the level of the light in the room unfamiliar, and her ringing cell phone unwelcome. It took her a second to remember where she was. Not her bedroom with the blackout shades back in Austin, but in Finn's pool house. She squinted, letting her eyes adjust to the morning sunshine streaming through the windows, and flipped over in search of her phone. Her body protested the movement, sore in places she hadn't been sore in a long time. "Shut up, shut up, shut up!" she groaned, slapping her hand around the nightstand for the phone. The ringing thankfully stopped, and she sighed, pressing her face into the pillow. But before she could consider going back to sleep, the phone started up again. "Oh, son of a bitch!" She pushed herself up and leaned over the side of the bed. Her phone was on the floor, halfway under the nightstand, her work number staring back at her on the screen. She sighed and grabbed for it. "Hello?" She fell back onto the bed. "I'm on vacation."
"An approved vacation,"
Preston said into her ear.
"Huh?"
she said, still groggy.
"No, you weren't in. I gave my request to Greg. He said you'd let me know if it wasn't okay."
"I'm letting you know," Preston said. "It's not okay. I need you in today. We just got a big job from Butter and Brittle, a new chain of candy shops opening across the state. They're willing to throw big money at it, so I promised to put my best designer on it and to personally oversee it. They want multiple concepts and a preliminary design to look at by next Wednesday, so we're going to have to crash the schedule to get it done by then. Next 10 days, you're mine. Nail it, and there will be a nice bonus involved."
She closed her eyes and rubbed the bridge of her nose. A nice bonus would be nice, but she'd taken off for a reason. "I'll get right on it when I get in tomorrow. I'm in Wilder for a family thing."
"Did someone die?"
"No."
"Then you need to come back." The sound of a clicking keyboard filled the line. "If you leave now, you can be here before lunch. I can brief you on the phone once you're in your car.
Their ideas are a little scattered, so we need to narrow the focus.
Liv sighed and scooted up the pillows, the warmth of the bed calling for her to snuggle back under the quilt. She should be able to snuggle back under. Today was supposed to be a vacation day. Plus, she had pictures to take for Kincaid later, and a hot FBI agent to keep her company this morning. Press! A sharp knock sounded on her door, followed by a booming voice.
Open up! I come bearing breakfast and sexual favors.
Who's that? Preston said into her ear. Shit! She pressed her hand over the mouthpiece and called. One sec! Then into the phone. No one? She and Preston had had a casual thing once upon a time, before he was the boss. But she knew that wasn't jealousy in his voice. Preston only had one love. The business.
You've got to be kidding me,
Preston said. I'm telling you I desperately need you in the office, and you're with some guy? Liv gritted her teeth and flung the quilt off so she could climb out of bed. All she'd thrown on after Finn had left were a t-shirt and underwear. But he'd seen her in much less, so she didn't bother finding something else to put on. I have a right to a personal life.
Not during work time.
Hold on. She stalked across the living room and opened the door. Finn grinned, a takeout bag and coffee in his hand.
Oh, pants optional. I'm fully on board with this plan.
She pointed at her phone. He winced and mouthed, sorry. Preston sniffed in her ear, his opinion clear.
I need you in the office now. I didn't approve this vacation day. Tell your personal life to keep his pants on. He doesn't pay your bills. Your job does.
Liv's fist clenched at the threat, but she swallowed what she really wanted to say. Preston was being a dick, but he was also stating the truth. He was her boss, and this was her job. What else was she supposed to do? Get fired? Fine. I'll be there by 11.
Thank you.
Preston ended the call without another word. She tossed her phone onto the kitchen counter and cursed, colorfully. Finn's brows lifted.
Everything okay?
It's fine.
You sure?
He glanced at her phone.
You'll be where by 11, Kincaid's?
Liv ran her fingers through her hair, trying to tame the bedhead in her annoyance. No, work. There's a crisis, and apparently my boss never approved this vacation day.
That sucks.
He frowned and handed her one of the coffees. Thanks. She took a long sip, feeling weighed down all of a sudden. It does suck. It's not a total shock. I was taking a risk asking for a Monday off, but I thought it was squared away. I should have known to double-check. Finn leaned against the counter.
What about Kincaid? Isn't she cooking all kinds of things for the photo shoot?
Liv's shoulders sagged, more stress piling on. Yes, I need to call her, make sure she doesn't start cooking. Damn, now all her ingredients might go bad by the time I can get back.
They might last until next weekend.
She groaned. But I won't be here. This project is going to go through the weekend. Finn's frown deepened.
So I'm not going to see you for 2 weeks?
Liv set down her coffee and rubbed the now throbbing spot between her eyebrows. Yes. Preston's not so aware that weekends and weekdays are different things. I was going to work extra hours during the week to make the summer work, but when the big projects come up, I'm going to have to be there.
So this could happen all summer, then?
He said grimly. Maybe. She forced brightness into her voice that she didn't feel. Missing me already?
I missed you when I walked out last night,
he said, no flirtatiousness in the tone. The stark honesty jabbed her in the chest, made her feel things she shouldn't be feeling. Oh. He leaned against the counter.
I get it. Work is work. But you made a commitment to Kincaid, and to yourself, and I already emailed my mom telling her I'd be visiting next weekend.
She set down her coffee, guilt flooding her. I'm sorry, can you move it? He considered her, something closing off in his expression.
No, it's fine. This isn't about me. I'm a big boy and can go solo.
She rolled her lips inward and nodded. Right.
Well,
he said, grabbing one of the paper bags he'd brought in and handing it to her.
I got you a bacon and egg biscuit for the road. I'll head out so you can get ready.
He stepped past her, and she clutched the bag in her hand, feeling a chill in the room. Fan? He gripped the door jamb and looked back.
Yeah?
I'm sorry for the change in plans. He shrugged a shoulder.
Not your fault.
You seem mad. He turned and folded his arms over his chest.
No, not mad. I'm just wondering if you didn't push back on your boss because it's easier to leave than stay.
Her stomach flipped over. What?
Sometimes the devil we know isn't as scary. Here you have to deal with a friend's expectations. Here you have to figure out if you're still talented with your camera. Here you have to deal with a morning-after conversation when you've made it clear that you're a cut-and-run kind of girl.
Her spine stiffened. You think I'm running out because I don't want to have the after-sex talk?
I don't know,
he shrugged.
But I think your boss gave you an out from all this, and you took it.
Heat crept up her neck. I have to go to work because it pays my bills. I have to listen to my boss because that's how life is. I'm not a trust fund baby who has a cushion if it doesn't work out. He didn't take the bait.
Right.
She made a sound of frustration. I don't want to fight with you. That's not what this is supposed to be. We agreed. No complicated shit. We had sex. That doesn't mean you get to lay a guilt trip on me for leaving to do my job. He stepped closer, his eyes not leaving hers, and cupped her shoulders.
I'm not fighting with you,
he said softly. We're supposed to be doing a job for each other this summer.
This is me doing mine. I'm fighting for you.
Remember why you wanted this.
Remember why you came here. It wasn't for a good lay.
Finn. He tucked her hair behind her ear. Eyes serious.
I'll still be here in 2 weeks, but don't forget the point.
He released her, and her breath whooshed out. Before she could say anything back, he walked out and shut the door behind him. She gripped her elbows, feeling chilled and a little lost. He didn't get it. He'd lived a life where he always had a financial safety net. She wasn't running to work because she was scared. She was going because she had to. Right? She leaned against the wall and slid to the floor. Then why did she feel so damn shitty? Chapter 18. How is it possible that someone who can make such beautiful food can be so bad at photographing it? Liv asked, chin in hand as she stared at her computer screen.
I know, Kincaid announced in her ear. I told you I'm lighting impaired. Maybe it's my kitchen.
Liv frowned as she clicked through the photos. Kincaid had emailed her. Her pancakes looked weirdly yellow, and the sausages gray. So lighting was definitely an issue. But even if she could adjust the coloring in one of her photo editing programs, the angles were all wrong, too.
Are you sure you didn't purposely take bad ones to make me feel worse about standing you up?
Kincaid snorted.
Sadly, no. This is my best effort. I have similar trouble when I photograph houses for work, so there's no way to adjust them.
Liv sighed. I may be able to tinker with them a little when I get done with work tonight, but I think a reshoot will be better. When I get out there, I can train you to get better angles and show you where the best light is in your house or yard. Natural light is your friend.
Thanks, but when do you think you're going to be able to get out here again? If you left Mr. Hot Cop's bed behind, you clearly had an emergency, because why else would you leave that behind?
Liv grimaced and glanced up to make sure none of her co-workers were close enough to hear her. Oh, how she loathed the open-concept office model.
I never said I slept with him.
Uh-huh. You were staying at his place after that kiss I caught you in on the porch, and you're not sleeping with him.
Liv rubbed her temple, a mild headache brewing. I never said that either.
Kincaid laughed.
Ha! I knew it! You're my patron saint right now. Have I told you that?
Don't canonize me yet. Things have been so crazy here at work that I haven't talked to him since Monday morning when I left. I kind of accidentally one-night standed him.
Accidentally? Kincaid asked, the don't bullshit me tone clear.
Liv closed her eyes, regret pressing down on her. Okay, maybe work has conveniently gotten in the way. I just don't know what to say. He made it sound like he thinks I'm choosing work over following my letter stuff. But I can't help that I have a job to do, bills to pay. But I feel shitty because we made an agreement to be there for each other. Not in the bedroom kind of way, but in the friend way. And I've had to bail on him. Kincaid was quiet for a moment.
Do you want to spend more weekends with him?
Yes, but...
But...
Liv looked up at the ceiling, hating the relief that had rushed through her when she'd gotten back into the routine at work. When she'd left Finn, she'd had every intention of getting back to Wilder as soon as possible. She'd made a promise to him, and to the other women, to herself. But when she'd stepped into the office on Monday afternoon, and everyone had been happy to see her because she could make things happen, all she'd felt was relief. The chaos had felt familiar. Comforting. Things made sense here. She knew her role. She didn't have to think about the past or ponder her letter or replay what had happened with Finn. She didn't have to worry about flashbacks or panic attacks. She could do what she always did. Throw herself into work and get shit done. Be the go-to girl. But every time she thought of that night with Finn, she got a pang deep in her gut. One that reminded her what she'd left behind. Longacre. Finn and her friends seemed like another universe when she was away from it. One that she used to be able to pack into a vault in her mind and ignore. But now it wouldn't stay locked away. It tugged at her in a way that made her chest hurt. Even talking to Kincaid like this stirred an ache inside her. They'd grown so close those months after the shooting. And then Liv had just closed the door on her like everything else. She didn't want to do that again.
I guess I'm scared, she finally admitted. Of him?
Of the fairy tale trap. The words hadn't been what she'd meant to say, but once they were out, the truth of them resonated through her.
You mean, fallen for him?
No, she frowned. I know better than to let that happen, but I've always been really good at creating a fantasy world when I want to escape. In high school, I was struggling with my mom being sick, so I created this secret little world within, one where I got to sneak away and forget who I was, and pretend I was some other girl. And then after the shooting, I went to college and used alcohol and guys to pretend I was this carefree badass who lived on her own terms, even though I was a wreck inside. Now I've finally gotten my life together, and I'm sneaking away to a lake house to take pretty pictures, and be with a guy while we pretend our real lives don't exist. It's dangerous, and feels too familiar.
Right, Kincaid said. But you're not running away from anything right now, are you? I mean, what are you escaping? You have a good life, it sounds like.
Liv rolled a pencil along her desk, back and forth, back and forth. My life is fine.
So maybe this isn't a fantasy so much as an augmentation. A bonus. With a penis.
Liv laughed, snorted, and one of her co-workers looked up from his desk. She faked a cough.
You have a way with words, Kincaid. All I'm saying is that we're all screwed up in some way, right? We're human. We're survivors. That all has its own baggage. God knows I have mine. But we all seem to be doing okay now. You're allowed to have fun. You're allowed to have a fling with an old boyfriend and not feel like it's some big life decision or an unhealthy coping mechanism. Be smart about it, but don't deny yourself some simple life pleasures. Taking your photos, hanging out with your awesome, amazing, super wise friends and hot cop penis?
A real laugh burst out of Liv this time, and she quickly pressed her hand over her mouth to staunch it. "He's FBI, for the record."
"Federal cop penis," Kincaid corrected. "That's top shelf. It has authority across state lines."
Liv shook her head. "You're ridiculous."
"And awesome, amazing, and super wise?"
"Obviously." She could almost hear Kincaid's grin over the phone.
"So, when are you going to get back out here and take these pictures for me, woman? Because this whole pep talk has been a thinly veiled ploy to get your talented butt out here to help me not embarrass myself on my blog."
Liv glanced at the clock, and then calculated the amount of work she had left. Too much. But her resolve had been renewed. "I'm going to do everything I can to knock the first part of this project out by Friday. If I can pull a few late nights, I can tell my boss I'm taking Saturday and Sunday off, and we'll finish the rest next week."
"Yay! Perfect! Let me know!"
Liv told her she would, and they said their goodbyes. It was already close to 7, but Liv got up and made herself another cup of coffee. If she could pull this off, she'd not only be able to help Kincaid, but she'd get back in time to go with Finn to his parents' house. With a smile and more resolve than she'd felt since leaving Wilder, she got back to work. By Friday afternoon, Liv's eyes felt like they were going to melt out of her head. She'd worked every night this week until the wee hours of the morning, bringing the project home with her and doing little else. She'd thrown herself into all the details, making sure it wasn't a rushed job despite the crazed schedule. The account was a big one, and she wanted to nail it to show Preston and the client that they could count on her to deliver great work. The pace had taken its toll, and exhaustion was settling in. But it was worth it, because she was now ahead of the proposed schedule, and had gotten to the point that would allow her to take off for the weekend without guilt. She could almost smell the lake air, hear the water lapping at the shore, feel the warmth of Finn's body against her in bed.
"Hey, Olivia."
Liv looked up, startled out of her thoughts. Annabelle, one of the junior designers, stood in front of her desk with an apologetic smile. Liv sat up straighter and pasted an "I wasn't thinking about X-rated things" look onto her face.
"Hey, what's up?"
Annabelle held out her hand, a bright pink sticky note attached to her fingers.
"So, I've been trying to build a members-only page for this client, but I made some mistake in the code somewhere, and it's letting anyone get in and access paid features. I tried to figure it out, but it's going to take more time than I have. I'm playing a gig with my band tonight, and really need to be there. Pris said I should let you take a look since you're ahead on your project and are a genius with these kind of things."
Pris said. Liv frowned and grabbed the sticky note that had the client's account info on it. "Big show?" Annabelle brightened.
"Yeah, it's Battle of the Bands at Three Thirsty Roosters."
Three Thirsty Roosters, which held a Battle of the Bands every week and probably could hold like 30 people if those people didn't have issues with personal space or body odor. Not exactly a super important gig when anyone could get on stage and take a shot. Normally she wouldn't have blinked. Her co-workers had all kinds of things going on that she chalked up to being young and in Austin. Bands, throwback bowling leagues, street taco cook-offs, roller derby. She usually didn't mind picking up the slack where needed, since she was a senior designer and worked late anyway. Her father had always told her the best way to maintain job security was to be indispensable. She'd taken that to heart, always filling in the gaps others wouldn't. But the words, "Press said," and the assumption that she would take on more despite her already crazy workload, dug under her skin. She'd already sent him an email saying she was ahead. Instead of him thanking her for working 14-hour days and telling her to take her weekend, he now assumed she'd stick around and take on even more work? What if she wanted to go try her hand at Battle of the Bands? It could happen. Okay, probably not. But she did have something on her schedule. No. Someone. She put the note back in Annabelle's hands, aggravation pulsing through her. Sorry, there's no way I can squeeze us in tonight. And I've got plans this weekend. You'll have to tell the client you'll handle it on Monday. Annabelle's pierced brow arched. But they want it ASAP. Then you'll have to work late tonight. Come in tomorrow or get Preston to deal with it. I'm not available. Ah. Annabelle's lips opened, but then shut when she saw the look on Liv's face. Fine, I'll figure it out. Annabelle stalked off, her knee-high boots clicking on the wood floors like a hammer. But Liv couldn't find it in her to care. She didn't have a band, but she had important things she needed to do. Like take photos of pancakes and irritate Finn's parents. And naked things. Lots of naked things. With that surge of righteous indignation, she got up from her desk and headed to Preston's office. He told her he wouldn't be available to talk until later tonight, when she'd show him her preliminary designs. But she'd heard that line a few times this week, and was done with it. They would talk now. Liv knocked on Preston's door, but didn't wait for him to call her in. She stepped inside his office and shut the door behind her. I need a minute. Preston didn't look up from the papers he was flipping through. I was just about to call you. Great job on fixing the Anderson wine site so quickly last week. They said they're sending you a gift basket. Cool, Press, Are you making sure your designs for Butter and Brittle look great on mobile, too? The design you sent me yesterday wasn't converting well on my phone. Liv shifted on her heels, swallowing down her annoyance at the interruption. I figured out the issue. It's fixed. He glanced up, smiled, camera flashed quick, and jotted something down on a notepad. Great. I told them we're running ahead. They're thrilled. Hopefully we can get the designs to them early. That would look fantastic, and we'll probably get some referrals. What? She said, forgetting to watch her tone. You're not supposed to tell them we're ahead. I'm working with the original schedule, which was already fast. It's not going to be early. Confusion flashed over his features. But your day's ahead. She smoothed her lipstick, steeling herself. I'm days ahead for me. I doubled up my hours this week so that I can take the weekend. Preston looked at his notepad again. No way. She blinked. What? Jotting, 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 like she wasn't even there having a conversation with him. No can do. The client is now expecting early, and we deliver what we promise. Plus, Annabelle's out this weekend already. You know weekends are part of the deal here.
Then I need to take vacation days. I have a thing.
He sniffed. You mean your new boyfriend? Her ears went hot.
And in the category of things that are not your business.
We're too swamped.
We're always swamped.
He glanced up, warning lingering behind his dark-framed glasses. Which means business is going well. Which is job security for you and me. Which is what we're trying to do here, right? Plus, even if I was granting vacation requests, I need them 6 weeks in advance. And I can't grant you special favors. You know how that'd look.
Her teeth clicked together. She knew that wasn't true. Manny had taken a last-minute vacation 2 weeks ago, when he won an entry to a Vegas poker tournament. Preston had been all backslaps and go-get-him about that. And the you-know-how-that-look comment burrowed right through her last bit of tolerance. Early on, before Preston had taken over the top spot from his brother, she and Press had had a minor thing, a few hookups after working late together because it was convenient and light. Nothing dramatic, and not the best decision on her part, because he'd blabbed about it to a few co-workers. She'd ended it shortly after that, but now he inevitably brought it up any time she asked for anything, because other employees knew they had a history. But this wasn't a special favor. She didn't ask for those.
I worked double hours this week. I brought work home to get ahead on the project. Everything will be delivered on the original schedule. The client can wait.
No.
The response was so curt, so I'm not even listening to you anymore, that she wanted to snap her fingers in his face to get his attention. Liv's fingers curved around the back of the chair she was standing behind.
Earlier in the week, she'd been debating going back to Finn's place, wondering if she'd made a huge mistake. But now that Preston was pushing back on her, she realized how useless the internal debate had been. He could pull the plug on it without her even having a say. "What about working remotely? Everything I need is on my laptop." He let out a belabored breath, like she was officially annoying him now. He set his pen down. "Olivia, I'm sorry, but it's not going to work. I need you here. You saw what happened when you were gone for 2 days. We can talk about vacation near the holidays when things slow down." His gaze shifted to his computer screen, dismissing her. "And hit the brew button on the coffee pot on your way out. It's going to be one of those nights." Liv stood there, anger making her freeze up. She wasn't one to make waves at work. Even with her carnal knowledge of her boss, she was nothing but a professional here. She'd done the rebel thing in her teen years and in college, and had been burned thoroughly. She'd learned that life was easier when you played along, did your job, didn't get labeled difficult. But something deep inside her was on fire, and the flames were gaining ground. She knew what she was supposed to do. Act rationally, swallow her frustration, go to her desk and suck it up, get her work done, get Annabelle's work done, make Preston some fucking coffee. But her legs wouldn't move. When Preston glanced up and noticed her still standing there, he frowned. He didn't say it, but the sentiment was clear. "Why are you still here?" She didn't have an answer. Not for why she was still in his office, and not for why she was still here, in this job, in this place, in this life. "I need the weekend, Press," she said finally. "I'm taking it." His eyebrows disappeared beneath his overstyled, messy on purpose hair. "That's not for you to decide." She took a breath and released the chair in front of her. "It is, actually. Fire me if you need to." That seemed to snap some of his bravado. He groaned and scraped a hand through his hair. "Olivia, what the hell's going on with you? You're my partner in crime when shit hits the fan here. I'm telling you I need you, and you're threatening to bail. This isn't you."
"Maybe you don't know me then."
He scoffed. "Don't know you? Come on." He got up from behind the desk and stepped around it to perch on the front, facing off with her. He gave her a confident smirk, the one the interns got all doe-eyed over.
"I'd say we know each other pretty well. I know you have a cute birthmark on your inner right thigh."
Her nails curled into her palms. "That's not knowing me. That's fucking me." His smile fell.
"I know you're a perfectionist like me. I know your clients matter to you. I know that you don't go off on whims and leave a client hanging. I know you're like me."
"Like you?" she said, her voice flat.
"Yeah."
He stepped forward and put his hands on her shoulders.
"We get each other because this job is our life. We know that's what it takes to get ahead. So don't threaten me with walking out when I know that's not what you want to do. If you don't have this, what do you have? Because I know what that answer is for me."
The words hit her like hot needles, each one a prick to her skin, drawing blood. If she didn't have work every day, what did she have? A generic apartment? A few friends she occasionally met up with for lunch? A couple of TV shows she recorded? A family that loved her as long as she was their version of a well-behaved, contributing member to society? She swallowed hard. Preston smiled at her lack of answer. He gave her shoulder a squeeze.
"Why don't you take the rest of the night off, and I'll take care of Annabelle's issue. Get some sleep, and then come back with your head together in the morning. I'll be working all weekend, too, so we can keep each other company."
"Press." His smile remained in place.
"Yeah?"
She removed his hand from her shoulder. "You have no clue who I am."
"Olivia,"
he said, the word full of impatience.
"I quit."
His pretty boy eyes went wide, and her stomach did a roller coaster plummet. I quit? Had those words just come out of her mouth?
I quit? Before he could say anything else, or she could sufficiently freak out, she turned and strode out of his office, numb, trembling, ears buzzing. Olivia! She heard her name but didn't stop. She passed the coffee pot on the table outside, and in a daze tapped the button. The thing sputtered to life as she went to her desk on autopilot. A few of her co-workers remained in the industrial-style open office, even though the lights had been turned low. From the outside looking in, it looked like it'd be a fun place to work. Toys on people's desks, a basketball net above the trash can, bright comic book artwork on the exposed brick walls. But she glanced around at those who were still at their desk, headphones on, eyes glued to their screens, Red Bull cans on their desks, and just felt hollow. Just keep moving. Just keep moving. The words repeated in her head like she was channeling that forgetful fish from the Disney movie. Just keep swimming. She gathered a few personal things, dumped them in a bag, and then walked out of the office. Keep moving. No one even looked up, and Preston never came out of his office to chase her. Only when she hit the thick evening heat outside did the reality of what she'd done smack her in the face. She sat down on a bus stop bench, her bag of crap at her feet, and let the wave she'd set in motion crash over her, splashing reality all around her and pooling anxiety in her gut. Her big risk this summer was going to be spending time at Finn's and knocking the dust off her camera. That was going to be her toe in the water. Instead, she'd fallen off the dock into the ocean. She'd quit her job, her only source of income, a job she'd dedicated years to, a job that was her life. Holy shit. She'd just quit her life. Chapter 19.
Did you get the photos?
Finn asked in between sips of beer as he leaned back in the chair. The view of the lake black at this hour, and his mood the same.
I did,
Billings said.
Barely recognized you. Yeah, I shaved off the beard and cut my hair. Didn't want to take any chances.
Billings sniffed.
It wasn't that. It was the goofy smile on your face. Not sure I've seen you with one of those before.
Finn grunted.
You usually aren't telling me things that inspire a smiling. Well, that and I'm not half as pretty as your lady friend. What's her name again?
Olivia. Finn closed his eyes and rubbed his brow. He couldn't think about Liv right now. She'd been gone almost a week, and he hadn't heard a damn thing from her. He'd fucked it up and scared her off by moving too fast, by letting his dick commandeer his brain.
Don't fool yourself, boss. You're a beauty. Kissing up will get you nowhere, but I'm glad to see you looking human again. Keep the pictures coming, and keep up those weekly calls with Doc Robson. They'll help your case.
My case?
Yeah, I have a big operation shaping up that I know you'll want to be in on, but I'll have to go to bat for you to convince the higher-ups that you'll be ready that soon.
Finn straightened in the chair.
What kind of operation?
Billings didn't respond for a few seconds.
Can't give details yet. We're still in surveillance mode.
Finn frowned, frustrated that his boss insisted on keeping him in the dark. But if Billings thought Finn would want to be in on it, there was a chance it was a lead on the Longacre guns. Finn's heartbeat ticked up a notch.
When would it start? September is my goal. Would need you up here before that to get you prepared. Got it. If you send me the files, I can start. No,
Billings said firmly.
No work right now. This break is a requirement. You'll get everything you need when it's time. The only reason I'm telling you anything now is so that you're motivated to keep doing what you're doing.
Finn nodded, determination making his muscles go tight.
Got it. And Dorsey.
Yeah?
Do all you can to enjoy this break. Spend time with your lady. See your family. Your friends. Do whatever it is that gets you smiling like you were in that picture. Because you're going to need those memories going into this assignment.
It's an ugly one, and it's gonna take a while.
Finn swallowed hard.
Right. I'll be ready for it, and I'm visiting my family tomorrow.
Good.
Finn could almost picture Billings giving that curt nod he did when he dismissed people after meetings.
I'll check in soon.
Finn ended the call and leaned back in the chair, mind whirling. Something in Billings' voice was off. Whatever this next assignment was, his boss was more concerned than normal. He wanted Finn to be mentally sound, that was a given, but something else was there, too. Finn knew if he asked, he wouldn't get any answers, but at least he now had an end goal in sight. They'd let him back in the field if he could prove he wasn't irreparably damaged from the last job, that he wouldn't go rogue on them, that he was normal. Or mostly. Because God knows he'd never be totally normal. He wasn't even sure what that looked like anymore. Seeing his family tomorrow would only highlight that, but bailing on the visit wasn't going to cut it. Billings would expect more photos, more proof that Finn was stable and ready for this job. He needed to keep up appearances, and Liv was no longer here to help. She didn't say she wasn't coming back, but she hadn't called or texted. He'd messed things up. He needed to call her, apologize for taking advantage of the situation, try to get things back on track. But when he lifted his phone to call, he couldn't bring himself to do it. He didn't want to be someone's charity case. If she didn't want to be here, he wasn't going to guilt her into it. He'd figure it out on his own. Dread curled in Finn's stomach as he rummaged through the pantry, looking for something to bring to his parents' house. His mother used to make comments to her father if a guest came to lunch or dinner without a hostess gift, like it was some egregious sin. He didn't know if he was considered a guest now, or if he still qualified as family, but he wasn't going to take any chances. He grabbed a dusty bottle of tequila that he found tucked in the back of the pantry. He frowned down at it. For a dinner with friends, this would probably work, but he doubted his parents were planning a margarita lunch. That left him with canned corn or a sleeve of Ritz crackers. Neither was going to pass muster. He pulled his phone out of his pocket and checked the time. His mom used to love the macaroons from one of the local bakeries. It wasn't exactly on the way, but he could leave enough time before lunch to swing by and pick up some. If that failed, there was a wine store next to the bakery. At least wine had the added bonus of taking the edge off the awkward meeting. He set his tequila down, resisting the urge to take a swig of it to prepare him for this visit. Part of him wanted to text and say he'd gotten a flat tire and couldn't make it. But knowing his family, they'd just send someone to pick him up. He shook his head.
Get it together, man.
He'd face down criminals who wouldn't hesitate to cut his throat and ask questions later. But one family get-together, and he was ready to bolt. What was the worst they could do? Make him feel guilty for not being around? That was a given. Comment on how he'd let the family business down by not following in his father's footsteps. No doubt. He could survive all of that. If he wanted to get back on the job, this was part of the assignment. Billings wanted him to visit his family. Plus, Liv had made a good point. His parents were getting older and wouldn't always be around. He also had sisters he missed. This was the only family he had. He needed to do this, even though he didn't feel like he belonged in their world anymore. With that internal pep talk complete, he grabbed his keys and headed toward the front door. But when he swung it open and saw someone standing there, he jumped back and cocked his fist, ready to use it as a weapon. Liv lifted her palms in defense, her eyes wide. Don't hit me! All the air rushed out of his lungs as he lowered his arm. Shit, Liv! You scared the hell out of me! She winced. Sorry, I was about to knock, but you beat me to it. Surprise! The hopeful look and head tilt she gave him made him laugh despite his pounding heartbeat.
I'd say so. What are you doing here?
She spread her arms out at her sides, revealing her flowered sundress, just enough cleavage to make his mouth water, and a smile. If you're still looking for a sidekick for that parental gauntlet, I'm here to provide my services.
His lips parted.
Really?
She shrugged and smoothed her hair behind her ears. Yeah, if you still want me to go, and if I'm not too late. If he still wanted her to go, like she wasn't doing him a huge, uncomfortable favor, like she wasn't the best damn surprise he could imagine. He wanted to sweep her up and squeeze her. He was so happy to see her standing there.
Of course I do. And you're early, actually. But are you sure you want to volunteer as tribute? I'm still not sure I want to volunteer.
She laughed and stepped into his space to give him a quick peck on the lips. Yes, and tribute. You've been Netflixing. He tossed his keys on the table by the door and gave in to the temptation to touch her. He wrapped his arms around her, the tension in his shoulders easing at the feel of her, at the grapefruit scent of her shampoo, at just her being there. After a week of radio silence, he'd been convinced he'd screwed the whole thing up, scared her off. He'd half expected her to never come back to the lake house. Seeing her standing there was like a potent drug injected straight into his veins.
Of course I'm Netflixing. I'm properly reclusing and getting over being dumped by this girl who used me for my body.
She touched her forehead to his chest. I'm sorry I didn't call. I didn't dump you, though.
Just used me for my body then.
She looked up with a sly smile and slid her hand up his chest, those gentle fingers sending hot awareness straight downward. Yes, it is quite a body. God, this woman, even the simplest touch had him aching for her. He bent his head and kissed her, a little more than a peck this time.
I got the better end of the deal, and feel free to use me any time. Right now, in fact, I'm very easy. Super loose morals.
She grinned. Ooh, I love a man with loose morals. It's at the top of my checklist. Too bad we have a lunch to go to. He ran his fingers under the thin straps of her sundress and watched with fascination as goosebumps appeared along her skin and her nipples hardened beneath the cotton fabric. So sensitive. Sexy.
We have a little while until I'm supposed to be there. I was just leaving early to pick up dessert.
He dragged the strap down, revealing the top curve of her breast, and leaned down to kiss the smooth, tawny skin.
Maybe we should just have dessert here.
Liv tipped her head back as he trailed kisses up her neck. She braced a hand on the doorframe, her body shuddering underneath his lips, and his cock hardening in his pants. She let out a soft sigh. I'm supposed to tell you no right now, that we'll be late, and that will be bad. And then I'll have after-sex hair, and that will be worse, but...
But?
He asked, sliding his hand into all that dark hair and cupping her neck. But, what was I saying again? He laughed softly and pulled her inside, shutting the door and then crowding her up against it. She didn't hesitate or resist. Instead, she reached for him and pulled him in for a kiss. One arm looping around his neck, and her other hand sliding between them to stroke him through his jeans. His knees tried to give out at the feel of her hand on him, but he managed to keep them both upright, kissing her back with a frenzied need he couldn't staunch. A throaty moan rumbled through her, like touching him was so damn satisfying, and his body went all systems go. He loved how responsive Liv was. No games. No pretending she wasn't interested. Bold and brazen and hot as fuck. It made his normal filters fall away, flipped all his dirty switches.
You want my cock, baby?
He said, moving her hand away and dragging her leg up to press his erection at the apex of her thighs.
You missed having me inside you.
She groaned and rocked against him, sending jolts of pleasure up his spine. He rutted against her slowly, torturing them both, and brushed his lips against her ear.
You should have called. I would have kept you company during those late work nights,
would have told you in filthy detail exactly what I was going to do to you when I saw you again. Would have made you tuck your hand beneath your desk and stroke yourself between those pretty thighs while you came and no one else was the wiser. A hard shudder rumbled through her. Shit, Finn. It was a plea. He reached beneath